puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Boys and their toys is kind of the topic for today. The boy in question, Gordon Goldsborough, the toy in question. Well, let's find out. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. And you're absolutely right. Boys and their toys.
All right. So what's the clue? Remind us.
Well, I am talking about the tools that I use when I'm out exploring the province. And of course, I'm documenting historic sites in various ways. And the tool I want to talk about today is one that I can say confidently weighs exactly 249 grams.
So I have to ask, how can you be so certain of its weight?
Well, I didn't know exactly myself, except that the company that makes this tool prints its weight prominently on the side of it. So what I'm speaking of is my newest purchase, a tool that is known by a variety of acronyms, including UAV and RPAS, but it's more commonly known as a drone. I'm basically talking about a remote control quadcopter, similar to a helicopter, except that it has four propellers, one on each corner.
So is this to just chill out, Gordon, and entertain yourself playing with your drone, or is there some other purpose to this?
No, I think there's actually a lot of uses, very productive uses, and I can think of at least two ways that I use it. One of them is for what I call quick reconnaissance. So, you know, let's say, for example, I'm out traveling, I have to walk to a particular spot, and let's say, you know, there's a long distance that I have to go, and I'm not even sure what I'm going to find when I get there. So, for instance, a few years ago, I was looking for an abandoned old bridge in western Manitoba, and it was supposedly located at least a quarter of a mile off the highway. The trail wasn't very good. The sun was starting to set. And I wasn't sure I really wanted to commit the time to go there. So I sent the drone up and I flew it ahead. And I found that, lo and behold, the bridge that I was looking for was gone. So had I walked to the site, I would have wasted my time. So in this case, the drone was a real time saver.
So wait, explain how it works then. How are you able to tell? There's a camera on the drone?
There is, yes. So you pilot the drone using your cell phone. You see in real time, the camera on the drone is linked to the display on your phone. So you see what the drone is seeing, and you can turn the drone any way you want. And so if you're looking for something in particular, you just look on your phone until the view matches what you want to get. And then you can either take a photograph or you can take a video.
Very cool. Okay, so you said at least two ways. What's the second use?
To get bird's eye views of a site. You know, basically the camera can see details that you just can't see from the ground. So, for instance, a few years ago, I was checking out the site of a former Air Force base east of Dauphin. The site occupies nearly a square mile, so obviously you can't see the whole of it if you're standing on the ground. But when you put the drone up in the air, you know, you can see things like overgrown roads, the foundations of numerous buildings. Well, in fact, the runways, because, you know, this was back during the Second World War that this site was used, there were three runways in a large sort of triangle configuration. And I didn't even know there were runways there because all I could see were some trees. There was a forest. Well, it turns out the trees had grown through the concrete, through the cracks in the concrete, and had basically turned those three runways into a triangular forest. And there's no way I would have known that if I was just standing on the ground. And then if I'm trying to get a picture of a big building, you know, a large expanse of building, a picture from the ground just doesn't show it. Whereas an aerial photo, you can see the entire building in its entirety.
Okay, I have to ask, Gordon, has there ever been any hairy moments with you and your drone?
Oh, there's been a few. I would have to say, I think, though, my scariest experience had to be my flight at York Factory. That's at the mouth of the Hayes River in northern Manitoba. It happened about 3 years ago. And what it illustrates is that sometimes, for reasons unknown, drones have a mind of their own. Now, in this case, I had the drone in the air and I was taking some great photos of the depot building. That's a really old building. In fact, it's thought to be the oldest wooden building in the province. And I had some great shots and I was just about finished when suddenly the drone decided to start flying out over the Hayes River, heading away from me, and nothing I could do would bring it back. It just kept flying away and away. And I thought, oh, I'm going to lose the drone, all the pictures I've taken. Oh, this is a disaster. Fortunately, I was able to regain control and bring it back. But, you know, that sort of thing doesn't happen very often. But when it does, It is really nerve-wracking.
See, my nightmare scenario would be that the drone starts chasing me. And anyway.
Well, you can actually set it to do that. You can actually have it follow you. So if, for example, I've seen videos of people who are out like surfing or cycling, and they're riding their bike, and the drone is actually following them every twist and turn. So that's possible. I don't do that kind of thing, though.
When did you first start using a drone?
Well, as some of our listeners know, I am a scientist who studies wetlands. About 5 years ago, one of my university colleagues purchased a drone to help in his research. And I saw one of the videos that he took with the drone. I immediately realized how useful it would be for mapping wetland vegetation. So I brought myself a drone. Now, unfortunately, that first drone suffered a very watery death when it crash landed in a lake. They don't like getting wet at all. But, you know, I wasn't entirely unhappy because, like a lot of aspects of technology, drones evolve rapidly. So the second drone that I got to replace the first one, it was about the same price, but it had a far better camera, it was faster, it had a greater range, and better battery life than its predecessor.
So is this the one that weighs exactly 249 grams?
No, that drone, the second one, came to an untimely end too. I was using it about 3 years ago, and one of its propellers clipped a tree while I was photographing the former residential school at Bertel. We've talked about that building in this series before. The drone hit the ground and it literally smashed into a whole bunch of pieces.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm curious though, what are the capabilities of drones? Like, how far can they fly? How high? How fast?
There are numerous drones on the market and each has its own capabilities. So my third drone that I bought about a year and a half ago is, I would say, pretty close to the state of the art presently. So it has a range of about 8 kilometers, about 5 miles. And so what that means effectively is that it can fly up to 8 kilometers from where I am standing, controlling it. But I should point out that according to the rules, it's supposed to remain in sight at all times, you know, wink, wink. It can also fly, well, it's supposed to fly up to about a half a kilometer high, but I know that there are some drone pilots out there, not me, who have hacked theirs to go much higher. And you know, at that point, they're actually flying in the same airspace as commercial aircraft. So that's a big no-no. But in terms of other specs, my drone has a 20 megapixel still camera. It has a 4K video camera. It has a maximum speed of 72 kilometers an hour. That's 45 miles an hour. It can really book it. It can operate at temperatures between minus 10 and plus 40 Celsius. It can fly for about 20 minutes on a battery, and it navigates using GPS. So it knows its own position, usually to within about 2 meters or so. And actually, if I ever were to lose track of it, I could just send it a command saying, come back. And it has an autopilot. It could actually come back and land on the spot where it took off all by itself.
And this is the one that weighs 249 grams?
No. That drone actually weighs about 900 grams. And that's the problem. So under new Canadian rules, I must have a license to fly this drone, which means that I should take a course to learn all the rules that affect drone pilots. So I actually took such a course about a year ago. And when I showed the course notes to one of my cousins who flies for WestJet, he actually said that it looks like we have to learn almost as much as commercial pilots. It's just you have to learn so much to fly. And that's where my fourth drone comes in. I bought it earlier this year, and it's the one that I use most often now. And it's the one that weighs exactly 249 grams. And the reason is that I do not need a license to fly it. Under Canadian law, drones that weigh less than 250 grams are subject to almost no rules. Now, there are a few, which is that they're not supposed to be flown over people. You're not supposed to fly them in a reckless way that sort of compromises safety and privacy. You're not supposed to fly them near an airport or a military base or a prison. But otherwise, basically anything goes. Now, I don't generally fly my big drone except when I'm in the middle of nowhere, when there's nobody who would be affected by it. For pretty much everything else, my little drone has become my standard tool for aerial photography. It has less resolution. It can't fly as far. It can't fly as high or as fast. But for my needs in documenting historic sites, it is perfect. And most importantly, it's far less expensive too. It's about a third the price of the big one.
Well, I hope this one stays alive. No more crash landings or
so far,
untimely
so good.
Demises. Okay, great.
I became very gun-shy, you know, about the drone. I'm very protective of it, so I don't think anything's going to happen to these last two drones.
Very interesting. Gordon, what's the clue for next week?
Next week, we're going to talk about a small brick building overlooking the Assiniboine River here in Winnipeg. It's now abandoned, but it was formerly used for a purpose that I think will be familiar to fans of Downton Abbey.
Oh, I'm one of those fans. Gordon, thanks for this.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye. No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.